doctor and gardening information the natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Telephone number to be with me on the show is 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This hour is brought to you by Dirt Doctor, Inc. And what all that includes is a bunch of stuff. First of all, the newsletter, which is free. The Dirt Doctor newsletter goes out weekly. All you have to do is sign up for it. Tell us you want it. Fill out the form on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com, which is the other thing from Dirt Doctor, Inc. DirtDoctor.com is a very deep site covering this natural organic gardening, farming, ranching, and pest control. Also, health in general. A lot of information about pets and animals and various things like that. We have Facebook, facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor. And one of the things that is up there now that is kind of interesting to see is a chameleon changing color. It's our creature feature. We do creature features from time to time as a regular event on our website. But this one, and we put some of the stuff from the website on Facebook, so it's an easy way to go see some of the current things that we're doing is check out Facebook while you're there. And if you like us, we'd appreciate that. YouTube, we got a bunch of videos there. The library of information on DirtDoctor.com is where the bulk of the stuff can be found that you might be looking for. You go to the library, the big yellow button there on the homepage, and look up things in alphabetical order. Texas Organic Research Center is the not-for-profit part of our organizations. It's a 501c3 company and has the research data from other people and things that we've done there. The Organic Club of America is the one part of the website that costs a little bit, not very much, and it has a whole lot of benefits. Click on the green button that says Organic Club of America there on the left-hand side of the homepage, and you can see what the benefits are. We've just recently moved one of the videos that was in the members only area that covered in quite a bit of detail how I built the various fences in my gardens. We had that for the members only. It's now been moved to the public side, and you can everybody can access it now. And we've got new newsletters and information videos in the members area. And then my books, I have about 16 books covering all subjects related to this natural organic life. The latest two, professional organic management for the professional, which was done along with two friends of mine, John Ferguson and Dr. Mike Amaranthus. And it's not just for people in the industry. It's good for homeowners that want to know more details about organics and more details about how to talk to the professionals and how to, you know, what to look for in hiring people and all that kind of thing. There's a lot of research information in that book. And then the latest book is on turf grasses. It's the organic turf book. And it's available from UT Press, like a lot of my books are. It's available from the usual places where you buy books online and in some bookstores, especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But our organic lawn care is the latest of my books. And it talks about not only southern grasses, St. Augustine, Bermuda, Zoysia, centipede, and all those kinds of things, but also the northern and cool season grasses like fescue, rye, bluegrass, and things like that. The last chapter was added after we got started, because the UT Press came to me and said, do we really want to be pushing planting grass this much? Shouldn't people be planting food crops and alternative things and not just turf? So I said, yeah, but the main questions that we still all get in this business relate to grass and turf issues and weed problems and things like that. So we made the bulk of the book about the how the turf grasses, and then the last chapter is what are some of the alternatives you can do, which include vegetable gardens and landscape situations and crops that are alternative that require extremely low amounts of water and all that kind of thing. So check it out. It's a small, simple book. I think you'll enjoy it. It's available for you right now. To the phones. Jerry is in Coppell. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah, good morning.
What's up?
Well, I need some help. Our house is settled because of the drought from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had different organizations come out here and look at the house and make some recommendations. And one recommendation was to take down 3 25-year-old shrubs that were actually trees now. And we had them cut down and the roots ground down, and the roots were as big as my thigh. And then they said also we would recommend that we put down a root barrier from your trees down 3 feet. And the only thing is that my trees are within 12 feet of my home, and I'm concerned that if they put the root barriers down, it could kill the trees because they would be, the root barriers would be 10 feet from the tree.
Yeah, there's several issues here, Jerry. First of all, what were the big shrubs that you've already removed?
Doggone.
Were they hollies or photinia or
two were photinias and one was a holly.
Okay. It's not the end of the world. I wouldn't have removed them just for future reference. I think that these characters in the foundation business and some engineers too way overblow the danger of roots. I not only have a dozen trees closer than 10 feet to my house. Some of them I planted there intentionally. And there are houses, you know, around the world by the millions that not only have trees close to the foundation, some houses are built around trees. You know, so they're sitting on the roots system mm-hmm. of the tree. So I think it's greatly overblown. Can it be a problem? Yeah, in some cases it can. Generally, it's a problem where the foundation has a weakness. It's cracked. And there's a leak under the house, and so the roots will like that moist soil and build up under the house. And, of course, that's a different issue than the tree. That's a fix the leak and fix the broken foundation. Root barrier will damage the root system. They'll have to ditch at that point that they're talking about, and that'll sever the roots at that point. What functions as a very efficient root barrier is the beam of your house. And it's the
beam of the house, is that what you said?
Yeah, and it's doing it right now. The roots go over and hit it and move sideways. They sometimes do, but they rarely dip under and go underneath the house. Most cases, they hit the foundation and they move laterally, they move sideways. So if it were my house, I'd leave them alone. I wouldn't do the root barrier. It's your call, obviously. Can there be an issue related to the tree at some point? Yeah, but here's the thing. If you think that tree roots on your property near the foundation are a problem, a risk for your house, the only way to completely solve that is to take all the trees on your property down.
Yeah.
Because the tree root system is always going to go out 4 to 5 times wider than the drip line of the house. So you've got roots all over your entire property, whether they're planted 10 feet from the foundation or 50 or 60 feet from the foundation. So my house, I'd leave them alone.
Okay. And an additional question.
Mm-hmm.
They had recommended using the soaker hoses around the house.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been dragging soaker hoses every day around the house, and there's a runoff. If you leave them on like 20 minutes or something like that, it seems like most of the water's running downhill and not staying up close to the house as far as stabilizing the foundation. Do you have any kind of recommendations about something like that?
Yeah, I don't like soaker hoses too much. I'll use them occasionally. But if you have healthy soil that comes from using the organic fertilizers and the program that I recommend, your soil will have a different texture. It'll have a fluffiness. And you can do it real short term by going around your house and spray hydrogen peroxide right from the grocery store, the 3% stuff on the soil. It'll make the soil fluffy just almost instantly, and it will receive the water. You don't want to do it over and over again, but just one time. And then plant ground covers and dwarf shrubs and things like that. Water those plants reasonably, and that'll keep your soil moist enough to keep the foundation in line.
Well, I've heard you before. I've listened to you for many years. But if you're going to use the hydrogen peroxide, you obviously are going to have to dilute it with
water. The stuff in the grocery store, you can spray it straight 3% out of the bottle. Let me put you on hold if you had something else to talk about. I've got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Jerry was calling on 660 The Answer here in Dallas. Barbara is calling on WNTP in Browns Mill, New Jersey. I want to talk to her real quick and finish about some point Jerry and I were talking about. Barbara, what can I do for you?
Hello. I just called to ask about where to find the Dr. O'Hara probiotic, but you already answered my question.
Okay. The Essential Formulas company, if you go to essentialformulas.com, they and click on products, they list where all you can buy it. It can be got from a lot of stores directly. I mean, you know, physical stores, or it can be mail ordered, either one.
Okay. Well, I go to the Whole Foods store because I love that place, and I'm going to look for it there.
Okay, you'll love the product. It's really great. You'll be hooked on it just like I am.
Okay, and another thing I wanted to ask, I have lilacs.
Uh-huh.
They're a few years old, and they were beautiful for a while, and now the wood looks very, very old, and up the whole... They're the dwarf kind, but they're still tall.
Right.
Up the whole stem, there's this mildew, and I wanted to know, what can I do for them? Or should I just cut them down and let them grow from the root again?
Well, is the mildew on the woody part of the plant, or is it on the foliage?
It's mold on the woody part. The whole woody part looks ugly and moldy and with white patches.
And dying back. Well, what I would probably do, Barbara, is a couple of things. I'd trim out any completely dead wood. I'd go to the base of the plant and do the same thing to your lilac that I recommend for people with trees, and that is to expose the base of the plant. A woody plant like a lilac or hollies or viburnum or any photinia, any kind of plant that's a woody plant can be too deep in the ground, just like a tree. And so if you pull that soil back, that probably will relieve some of the stress. Lilacs can, as you probably know, can live a long time.
Yeah.
So we've got something that's going on. So cut the dead out, pull the soil back from the base.
Well, if you cut the dead out, it will be all the way from the base to the top.
Well, that's fine. If it's dead, it's not going to rejuvenate, and you need to cut it out. And if it is most of the plant and there's not enough left to
try. There's like a few leaves left on it, and they still come back and have flowers each year.
Okay. But well, if there's enough to keep the plant, cut it all back, do what I was suggesting, and it will tend to fill back out a little bit. If it's too damaged, too broken, and too dead, you need to pull it out and plant you a new fresh lilac bush.
Okay.
One of the two.
I see.
But the sick tree treatment, starting with the flare work, getting rid of the dead wood, will probably set up a situation where it'll start to grow again and flower for you. Maybe a little strange in its shape, but you'll probably be able to save it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Let's go to Austin, Texas, listening to iTunes podcast. Nathan, what's up?
Yes, sir. I had a question about using some garlic pepper tea. I've got a recent infestation of crickets and grasshoppers starting to show up, and I needed to know how hot of a pepper is too hot.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that I've ever burned any foliage with habanero or, you know, real hot pepper sprays, but I guess that it's probably possible. You've got kind of an interesting point, because habanero can burn certain people's skin, you know, tender skin.
Right.
And so can it burn tender plant foliage? And that's the answer is probably yes. On the other hand, I've used habanero peppers to make my garlic pepper tea in the past, and I've used them at the same formula that I've recommended for jalapenos, you know, two hot peppers and two bulbs of garlic per gallon, you know, the juice from those four vegetables being in a gallon of water and being the concentrate. And I've never seen any burn from that. So anything more than two habanero peppers per gallon could cause some burn. I don't know. I've never used it heavier than that.
Okay. And should I use it as a foliar spray, or should I put it just on the ground?
Yeah, it's a foliar spray, and it's a repellent. It's not a killing spray, and it'll help you some with the grasshoppers. If they're really a problem and currently chawing down on your plants, Nathan, the product for you to get is spinosad, and it'll be under different brand names. That's the active ingredient. It's made from a bacteria. That is what the active ingredient in the product is, and it's totally organic and safe for animals and stuff. It will bother honeybees to a degree. It'll disorient them to a degree.
Okay.
So if you do use spinosad, just use it precisely on, you know, on the plant that's having the plants that are being eaten and having a problem where the grasshoppers are. Don't just spray it all over the whole property if you can avoid that.
Okay. I appreciate it, sir.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Let's go. And the telephone number is 866-444-3478. 660 in Dallas again. It's Dane's turn. Hi, Dane.
Hey, Howard. I'm looking to plant some fruit trees. I've got a space that's 20 by 40 and 20 by 20 on either side of my driveway.
Okay.
And I don't have a big space. And I was reading about a technique to plant like three or four different fruit trees within a, you know, like a yard square, and keep them real small. That way you have a lot of variety in a small space.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that, or what would you recommend for that space? And
no, that's fine. All you do is you're going to have to do some determined pruning. In other words, more regular pruning to keep them small. And that's not unusual. I mean, some of the big apple producers, one that I know personally down in Medina, Texas, I mean, they grow the apples on grapes, you know, on an arbor, and they're growing them very close together, 30 inches or so apart, so it can be done no problem at all. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website Black Cow, spelled with a K, .com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we're going to go to another 660 listener, Snake Man Daryl. Or are you listening on the Internet?
No, I'm listening on 660.
All righty, what's up?
It amuses me sometimes, some of the other programming that's on 660, but that's another story. My comment is I'm getting a lot of calls because even though it's starting to cool off in parts of the country, I'm getting quite a few calls about snake babies. Babies happen in August and September, but that means the biggest flurry of activity runs well into early October and sometimes into November in the South. And what happens is people see one baby and they assume there's a bunch, and they're not always wrong. It's just a matter of how far you were from ground zero, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, long and skinny is good. Short and fat is bad. Little copperheads babies are way wider in the middle than they are anywhere else, so it's a definite difference in body shape. The only exception to that rule is the coral snake, and that's such a rare sight anyway.
Yeah.
But anybody that doesn't know that color pattern is something to be alarmed by. You know, that actually works all throughout nature. Any alternating light and dark banding is just a dangerous sign, even to colorblind animals. Think about the tail on a hornet.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good one. Let me ask you something about young snakes. Is the venom of a young snake the same as the venom of an old snake?
No, it is more potent, but there's less of it. So generally speaking, it's a wash, except for the fact that an adult snake got to be an adult by learning a few things, some survival skills and things. And one of those survival skills is if you buy something too big to eat, you don't want to waste all your venom. You want to save that for food, which is what it's meant for. A baby might not be quite so circumspect and can sometimes just unload. The record for the most number of vials of antivenom that it took to save one person's life in the United States was set when a baby rattlesnake bit a girl who'd sat on a rock with bare feet. And, you know, there was a little indentation underneath it that a little baby rattler was coming out for the first, you know, meal of the spring. And all it saw was her foot, and it was about the right size in terms of the heat signature. And it took, I forget how many vials, but it was a lot. She was dead on the operating table a couple of times. So, it's a little bit worse messing with a venomous baby just because of that. But they're also so small, and part of the reason they have big litters is most of them don't make it, you know. And mother does not stay with them. That's a myth. Mother is a verb, and snakes don't do it. They lay them and leave them and go their separate ways. There is some small amount of evidence that the Western Diamondback actually will stay around them until their first feeding, but it's anecdotal mostly at the moment.
So the best thing to do is not to go barefooted out in areas that might have snakes around.
Absolutely. Don't wear the flip-flops into the high grass, you know. It's pretty much common sense, the same common sense that makes any Texan shake their boots out for scorpions just before they stick their foot in it.
Good point, yeah.
You know, it's fairly straightforward thinking there. If you live in a place where something can hurt, just be aware for it so that it doesn't hurt you. The venom isn't meant for you. It's meant for food. They only use it in self-defense when they think something's trying to kill them, which can happen if you step on them. So, you know.
All right. Well, if people want to learn more about snakes and your performances, what's the website?
Snakeshow.com. And, yeah, my show is right after your show next Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Addison Improv.
Okay, so, Daryl. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, sir. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Open line for you at 866-444-3478 in Houston. Listening on the internet. Unfortunately, there's not a radio station there carrying us at the moment. It's Greg's turn. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Dr. Garrett. I'm having trouble with leaf miners on citrus fruit, on the grapefruit and a blood orange.
Okay.
The new growth that's come out is just curling up, and it looks terrible on them. I've tried... some neem oil. I've tried nematodes around the base of the true trees, and I've never thrown the infected leaves on the ground.
Well, a couple of things I'd recommend that you try, Greg. One is, let me ask you this first. What neem product did you try? You remember what it was, what the brand name was or anything?
No, but it was pure neem. It didn't have any pyrethrin in it.
Well, what I'm getting at is that most of the liquid neem products on the market aren't very good. They weren't real strong to start with, and then they lose their power. There's one called Nemesis or something like that. If you go to DirtDoctor.com and go to Neem in the library, I think I'll probably name them in there. There's also one called Azotol or something like that. It's a dry product, Azosol. It's expensive, but it works really well. It hasn't lost any of its power. And Neem is traditionally recommended for the leaf miners and works pretty well. The other thing I'd recommend that you try, if you haven't already, is garlic, because garlic functions in a systemic way. And you can put garlic, you can get dry granulated garlic at a big grocery store type place, box store, whatever, so it's inexpensive, and mix it into the soil. You could make your own from your own garlic, but we tend to like to keep that and eat it. You can also spray garlic oil liquid products on the plant. And in both cases, or any of those cases, the garlic is systemically moved in throughout the plant. And it really helps with the things like leaf miners that are working inside of the leaf tissue.
Okay. I also have some splitting of fruit on the blood orange.
Well, splitting generally comes from, whether it's tomato or citrus or whatever it is, splitting generally comes from watering practices that are not quite as good as they should be. In other words, the plant will dry out a little bit and start to harden its covering, and then it gets more moisture, or the temperature changes, or the conditions get better again, and that sometimes happens in the fall. The plant starts growing again, and that outside skin has hardened off, and as it starts to grow, it can't expand. It doesn't have the same elasticity, so it cracks.
I see.
Usually it's a cosmetic problem, but the only way you prevent it is just be more diligent about keeping the moisture level and as perfect as you can and keeping the plant growing, because if it stops and starts again, that's what causes the cracks.
Okay. Earlier this year, my grapefruit tree did not bloom at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what happened. It had bloomed the two previous years and had good fruit on it.
Well, I don't know what would have caused that. It can be moisture again, too much or too little, too much shade, something like that. What will stimulate blooming better than anything we've ever found is the Garrett juice mixture. You know, make your own version of it and drench it on the soil and spray it on a regular basis, or use one of the manufactured products. The new one called Garrett Juice Pro actually has mycorrhizal fungus and bacteria in it, so beneficial bacteria.
Uh-huh.
So it will help more so than anything you can do to hit set flowers.
Okay. That's all I have, and I sure enjoy your show.
Thank you, Greg. Talk to you later. It's Connie's turn, listening on 660 once again in Plano. Hi, Connie.
Hello. I have a question regarding earth herb, the ground cover.
Mm-hmm.
I have it under two live oak trees, and I like the fact that it is about the height of grass. It doesn't climb up my trees, and I don't have to dig it out.
Right.
But one tree, it looks really nice and full, and the other tree, it doesn't want to, well, it has lost some of the coverage. And is this something, at first, horse herb, I mean, it came up in the grass. It came up everywhere.
Right. It is a wild plant. That's right.
And now it doesn't seem like it wants to do that. And I was hoping that it would kind of do that in the bare spots under the tree, but it is not.
Horse herb is a little bit finicky about fertilizer. It being a native plant and, you know, a wild plant, a lot of people consider it a weed. I don't. I love the way it looks. But it probably has a fairly small tolerance of fertilizer. It wants to have some food. You know, it gets hungry. But a little bit too much fertilizer is probably not good for it at all, Connie. What kind of fertilizer program have you been using?
We have the organic program with ABC.
Hmm. What do they use?
I don't know. I just know that they come out. I know one time last year they came out and they did weed killer, and they just did everything. And that my horse herb was beginning to come up, and it set it back.
Yeah.
And I said, do
that's
not.
What I was afraid of. They're less than totally organic, to say the least. I would if you continue to work with them, get them to give you in writing exactly what they're using, and get them to stop using any herbicides, especially any pre-emergent herbicides, and see what the fertilizer that they're using is. And if they won't use something like Maestro Grow Texas Tea or Green Sense, or, you know, one of the ones that we would approve of, you need to work with somebody else. But I'm afraid you probably got some too strong a fertilizer put on there, and it may be what's doing it.
Okay. Well, if you fertilize just once a year, would that be enough, or does it just...
Yeah, horse herb doesn't need more than once a year for sure. I've seen horse herb adapt to synthetic fertilizers, but if it has the choice, it's going to like organic fertilizer, not used very often, to do the best.
Okay.
It depends on how it was grown in the greenhouse operations, if you planted transplants from a greenhouse, if it just came up wild there, it would be more sensitive to heavy fertilization. You see what I mean? If it's been used to it in the growing operation, it can take it pretty well, but in the wild, it doesn't like it much.
Well, I really couldn't say. But, yeah.
Well, check with them about what they're using anyway. You need to know that for sure. And if they're using herbicides and stuff like that, you need to get them to cut all that out for sure.
Okay, so next spring, or could I add little transplants now if I can find them?
Oh, yeah, you bet. They'll go bare in the winter if we have a hard winter, but they'll come right back. Another thing one of our listeners told us, it was a pretty cool insight, was that he harvested some horse herb by simply mowing it and catching, raking up all the clippings and dumped it, put it in another area. And the tiny little seed, you know, that come from those tiny little yellow flowers,
yes,
propagated it and came up all over the place where he moved the cuttings to.
Oh, okay.
So well, you might try that as well.
I haven't seen any yellow flowers recently, but that would be a possibility.
Yeah, next year, just keep that in mind.
Okay. All right.
Connie,
well,
thank you
for your help.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and the number is 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com. I'll be back after this.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And before I talk about something and get back to the phone lines real quick, these two dogs again that I talked about in the first hour of the show, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we need some help with two wonderful dogs that need a family to adopt them. One is Rose. She's a black lab mix, about 42 pounds. And then this really pretty gazpacho. Both of them had some hard times. They were saved from an inhumane situation where a lot of dogs were involved. And these both look great. Their pictures are on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Just go to SPCA Dog of the Week for those of you here in this area, and let's help out these two dogs. They would be great pets. And those of you around the country, support your rescue organizations wherever you are. Best way to get a pet, and the mutts tend to be the best. We've had a couple of thoroughbreds, Bernese Mountain Dog and a Standard Poodle, which was the smartest dog we ever had, and they were great, but we've primarily, all the rest of them, there have been a lot of them, have been mixed breeds, mutts. Jerry and I were talking on the phone, and I didn't follow up on a couple of quick things before we go back to the phones. I mentioned hydrogen peroxide could be used on the soil around the house where it's real hard clay, hard soil, and the water when you're trying to soak the soil or get the soil moist for foundation issues. If you spray with hydrogen peroxide, you will cause a fluffiness and cause it to loosen up. You just need to do it one time. You can use the 3% from the grocery store or the pharmacy, or you can mix water with it and dilute it about halfway, and so it's somewhere between 1% and 2% instead of 3%, which is what it is in the bottle. Either one would work okay. And then plant your plants, mulch, and just do normal, regular watering. That's enough watering to keep the plants alive. And that's enough water for your foundation. You don't need to overdo watering the foundation. And then root barriers were talked about in the same conversation. I don't approve of them that much. And I especially don't approve of the porous ones. If you're going to put in a root barrier, it needs to be solid. Solid plastic, solid steel, solid fiberglass, whatever it is, because those porous ones, the you can still have a transfer of the moisture, and it doesn't really solve anything. So you want to keep those roots from being able to suck the moisture away. That's the point of a root barrier, suck the moisture away from the foundation. I think they cause more trouble than they solve, so I don't recommend them and use them myself. I think the foundation, if it's in good shape, functions as a root barrier. But the one you especially don't want to use, that are recommended by these characters sometimes, has little beads of herbicide in the root barrier to kill the roots. And that's really goofy. Don't want to do that for sure. Back to the phones, Lewis in Ben Wheeler, Texas, next up. Hi, Lewis.
How do you do? Thank you, sir. I've got a little pond beside my house here, and it's a small one, and I've got a green cover all over it, and I've got quite a few sweet gum trees around it, and I've been told that that comes from the sweet gum trees, but I wanted to find out how I could remove it.
Well, it's probably just an algae, Lewis. You can kill it with a couple of things. But if you don't fix the basic reason it happened in the first place, it'll grow back. The trees may have something to do with it, but it basically is that it's stagnant water. And if you had some kind of movement, some kind of water feature moving the water or something like that, it would be better. You can kill it. You can knock it out with hydrogen peroxide. In this case, the more concentrated hydrogen peroxide diluted down to where it's 10%.
Where you get to 30%?
Yeah, get to 30% or 35%, dilute it down to 10, spray it. We did a newsletter that explains all the dilution rates and all for hydrogen peroxide. On the other hand, you could probably get pretty good control by just spraying the 3% hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store on it. It'd do a pretty good job itself.
Yeah, it's not that heavy moss like you see on the ponds. It's just it's more like little
green paint
seeds like come off of the sweet gums.
Okay. Well, I think the hydrogen peroxide would do it. The other thing that would probably help you would be cornmeal. Cornmeal has university research about it controlling algae, if that's what it is, in fact, and it sounds like it probably is, used at about 140 pounds per surface acre. Now, yours is probably less than an acre. So.
Oh, yeah, it's not even probably a quarter of an acre at
yeah.
most.
Yeah, well, maybe, 40 pounds. A 40-pound bag of cornmeal thrown out, might be all that you need. But again, if you don't change the conditions of the stagnant water, it's probably going to grow back.
Oh, okay.
But those are ways to clear it up, at least temporarily.
Yeah, Farm Bureau recommended cornmeal, and they also recommended some horse feed, which I put out there, and it didn't do a thing to it.
Well, now, horse feed would function kind of like a fertilizer and feed it. Might even make the problem worse. Some people use barley or hay bales. And
barley is what they told me to use.
Yeah, well, barley will work pretty well, but the cornmeal probably works even better.
Well, I put 50 pounds of cornmeal, and it didn't do a thing.
Well, try the hydrogen peroxide. I think you'll like it. I appreciate your call, Lewis, very much. I got to run. I've enjoyed being with you today, all 3 hours for a lot of you. Go to dirtdoctor.com. We got podcasts there. We got all kinds of information. You can get our newsletter free. Just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form that's on the homepage. Enjoy your gardens all this week, the nice, cool weather, and we will see you next week.